Hi there, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. In the studio with me today, our lost but refound cousin.
Hello. Hey, Julian here.
Julian, nice back. Where were you?
I was in Taiwan and Shanghai.
Yeah, well, that's what all we did when we were 18 years old, right? Terrific. And 21 years old, but traveling around the world. And Ben is back with us as well.
Good to be here as always.
Today's Memorial Day. No, today's not Memorial Day. Today's Veterans Day. The difference being that in Memorial Day, you honor the people who died. And Veterans Day, you kind of honoring people who are alive. I think you also honor some people who die. But it's confusing. But anyway, it's about veterans. They have parades. They have a lot of flags. They have a lot of stuff out there that is saying, you know, we want to say to whoever it was that was fighting in a war anywhere, we want to say thank you. So Veterans Day is a day set aside to honor all who have served or who are serving in the U.S. military. But the word veteran itself means somebody who has, I'm sorry, means someone who has been through a difficulty of some sort. Now, does that make us all veterans? Would calling ourselves a veteran be in some way stealing away something from the people who had a harder time, who really put their lives at risk, who maybe we should honor in some way? Well, I don't think so. I think we're all veterans. I think many of us have had struggles, and I know people who have had struggles much more difficult than going to war. You know, if you think about somebody, and if you think about somebody who's had a life-threatening illness, and they've gone through illness after illness and surgery after surgery and medication and radiation and all that stuff, the way you get beaten to hell in your, on your bedside when you're in a hospital and they're trying to save your life, they do such stuff to you, and you get through that somehow. And every day somebody comes and visits you, how you doing? How am I doing? They just took out my liver, turned it inside out. How you doing? They just reconditioned my spleen. They're giving me new blood. How you doing? And every day they've done something to you that has been so invasive. But there's a spirit that says, okay, I'm going to go through this, and I hope I'm going to come out okay. And if you got the right people around you, they're going to help you. They encourage you. Come on, let's do it. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. Pretty much like charging up a hill with rifles saying, we're going to make it, we're going to make it. You're kind of looking for to be your own hero in a way. And there are two outcomes to veteranship. There's good outcome and there's bad outcome. The good outcome is I was a veteran and I improved. That whatever I did worked. And then there's the bad veteran. Whatever I worked, whatever I did not work. I died, I got sicker, or so on and so forth. So this is not in any way to diminish the day. But it's a day that helps me ask you to look at yourself and think of the part of you that is a veteran. The part of you that has been through some rough times. Now, if you've had fights with weight, drugs, relationships, battles of loneliness, depression, how have you gotten through all of it? Well, you did. And as you've gotten through it, you become a little hardened, a little more callous, but you became your own veteran. You know, there are people on Veterans Day who feel shame. They feel shame because they never had a hard time, because they never did serve in the war in any way. Not that you would nowadays, because there is no draft. But there are people who actually feel ashamed. If you ask them, where did you serve in the military? Their first reaction is shame. Should have, you know, I should have been there. Should have done a part of that. So there's a whole bunch of people out there who, whenever you hear the word Veterans Day, they fight against it. They automatically say, no, 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 it's a bad thing because it represents war, because that's no good. But a lot of people feel shame, embarrassed. Also, shame in not serving in a bigger way. You know, did you ever decide that you could have stepped up in some way, but you didn't? People who stop drinking. Addiction is a battle, either won or lost. Do you become your own veteran?
I think there is something to be said for overcoming that kind of battle against addiction. And there's thousands, if not millions, of people in this country who are veterans of a battle against alcoholism, whether it's drink or hard drugs. That is something that can become a lifetime battle for people.
We could use the phrase battle, veteran, we could use the phrase survivor. But you know, survivor sounds so much like a life death only choice. They like to use that word a lot nowadays. I was a survivor of child abuse, you know, but life death is where I see the word survivor.
Like cancer?
Yeah. Veteran, though, you know, it's one of those words. Or hero. I was my own hero in many ways. How many things have you ever had to face where you were called upon to be a hero to yourself? And I'll give you a good example of this. It's a small one. You're on a diet. It's your third day. Or you've given up smoking. It's your third day. The fourth day, a cigarette comes available to you and you're craving it and you're dying for it, you're dying for it, you're dying for it, and you say, no, I'm not going to do it. And you get through it, and you know you're kind of beaten by it. It feels like you're a vet. It feels like you're in war, doesn't it? You ever had any of those battles?
Absolutely. I mean, especially with quitting smoking, it's something that I've quit and picked back up so many times in my life. And during the times where I do quit, I do feel a sort of accomplishment, like a sort of a grizzled sort of win in a way. And then I do feel defeated when I pick it back up.
Yeah, I mean, and me and you, Armand, we've done the 4 day or more fast. And that third day is a battle. I mean,
that's
a war. At night, you look around, you're like, oh, I think I've made it. And then you're here, and you look, and you see any kind of food, any kind of substance that resembles food, and you say, my God, I'm going to die if I don't eat that. And I feel like the chemical changes that happen in your body then probably are a lot like the chemical changes that happen when you reach some kind of adrenaline somewhere else, not only in fasting, but in a drug addiction. It's food that you need to survive.
Oh, what an interesting concept,
Julian. Or in battle, you have that adrenaline, the same chemicals that come through to make you survive are probably present across the board in all kind of battles throughout life that we're talking about right now.
Very interesting. Very interesting that there's a chemical reaction as well. Well, It's a battle. And by the way, we want to hear from you today because we've been on air for the last month doing 2-hour shows every Wednesday, none of which, by the way, are on the archives because there was too much pitching in between and we would have to sort through it. We did, if you're still interested in any of the premiums that we offered, you could call my office still and just call my office directly and they'll see if they could extend it and get the for you from BAI. And those of you who did donate and made your donations and pledges, I thank you so much. It's been so great to hear from you. We did very, very well from our end. Telephone number here, though, for a call-in is 212-957-2729. Here's what I want to hear from you about. I don't want to hear you standing on a soapbox telling me how bad the war is and something bad about veterans. I want you to talk about the veteran inside you. I want to talk about the part of you that is aware of a part of you that is so hardened and beaten. Like if you've been through 5 relationships in your life, and the 5 of them have ripped your heart apart, like if it's a real relationship, that's what it most likely will do. Are you a vet of romance? You're a veteran of romance? Are you still in there? You're still trying out? Still willing to give it a shot? or you were a veteran who retired. 212-957-2729.
You know, we had some great phone calls last week, Armand, and again, that was fantastic drive where we had a great participation from the listening audience, but I was just real struck, as always, with some of our phone calls and just hearing you connect with some of these listeners that were able to call in and share their stories. And I think that's a big part of, at least in my view, the appeal of this program is just hearing how you're able to connect with people. And that's why I'm glad we're going to be taking calls a little earlier today.
Yeah, it really touched me. I'm glad we did it on the final day. We were just missing it so much. But it was, you guys are great.
It's just such a huge part of the Positive Mind for me is the participation from the listeners and the interaction that happens there.
Excellent, excellent. We do have a caller on the line. Just stay with us. Telephone number is, by the way, 212-957-2729. Terry, hi, this is Armand DeMille on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Terry. Nice to hear your voice.
You too. Well, I know you're probably expecting to hear about all the loves that I've lost, right?
No.
And that's been tough, but...
Remember, you
I
could be a veteran winner.
I found out that my aunt, you know, growing up, I've had a very hard time with family, right? So family has, like, broken my heart on a constant basis. I had a nice childhood, but then, you know, my father left when I was an infant. As I grew, you know, I had grandparents. They passed away, and my aunts and uncles fought over everything, you know, in their death, and it was like it was really terrible. I recently found out that my aunt, who everybody had me looking up to, was, you know, I read that book. I don't know what you think of it, but The Sociopath Next Door, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of fit that mold. I know that sounds crazy, but I think that my whole life she's been doing things just to hurt me, but seeming like a nice person. And now my uncle passed, another uncle passed away, and he left money in a will to me, and my family is not going to, they're trying to get away from that as well. And I just feel like dead when it comes to, like, close relationships. And I think a lot of it has to do with the family stuff.
Sure, Terry, sure. I mean, what a horrendous thing you're going through. What a horrendous thing. In other words, what you're telling me is throughout your childhood, throughout your adulthood, you could never feel safe. And when someone wants to feel, when they feel a threat, the place they go is they go to their family. And your family was not a safe place. In addition to which, even though you said your father left when you were very, very young, is that true?
Yeah, I was an infant. I never met him.
Okay, but you looked for him.
I had my grandparents, so I was lucky in that way. But once they, like, it's weird how everybody else, it's just strange. It's just very strange.
So this really shocks you because you just, there's nobody you could trust, is there?
Not anymore, no.
It makes sense, Terry, you know? It absolutely makes sense. If I were you, any animal who would have gone through what you went through, any being who goes through what you're being, they would come out a veteran, they would look like Clint Eastwood. You know, they really would. They would just say, I don't trust nobody. Don't get anywhere near me. And on the other side of it, we have this beautiful Terry who's calling the Positive Mind, who wants to connect, desperately wants to connect. Like you are with me right now. It must be so tough.
I don't know. With you, it's different. You remind me of my grandfather.
Yeah.
That sounds terrible, but...
No. I can imagine.
He had a very easy way and a very gentle way, and you kind of have those qualities, you know, in a certain sense. And I just don't get close to anybody. I really don't. I mean... My best friend is someone that I'm lucky if I get together with once a month for dinner. You know, and really there's no real connection. I don't know.
It makes all the sense in the world.
Way. That's what's funny.
Terry, it makes all the sense in the world. I fully appreciate where you are and the way you feel. You know, and now I also hear that you'd like to change it. I also hear like you'd like to make a dent in it. And maybe you need a grandfather-like person or grandmother-like person to at least be there for you just a tiny bit, just a little bit, so that you can open up this trust wall. You see what happens to us after we've been batted around a lot, you know, after that's happened to us, after we've been proven that nobody can be trusted out there, we shut down the wall. We say, that's it. Nobody's out there. And if somebody can come in, knock, and bring you a cup of tea, and they feel okay, and you let one person in, it starts opening the door, and you make better choices this time. You don't expect getting from people like your family things that they're, you know, the kind of love that you would probably get from a more sane person. It sounds like you come from a pretty shady crew. So I think you've still got a good chance, Terry. I think you got lots of time. Find a grandmother, grandfather kind of person you could talk to. Have you been in any therapy? I'm sure you have.
You know, I was seeing a therapist locally for a while, but to be honest, I didn't feel I got much out of it.
Obviously you didn't get to that point with the therapist.
Like, I've gotten much from it, to be honest.
Yeah. Obviously you didn't get to that point with that therapist.
I don't know.
Let's try an experiment.
I feel like a lot of therapists just want you to sit and talk, and I don't know if they really connect with you, you know, but maybe it's just a combination of my inability to connect with people, but it just, I think that, you know, they're there, they make some money for an hour, they listen, you know, but really they're just waiting on the next person to come in. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, let's try something, okay?
Okay.
Stay with me a second. What's your favorite music, Terry?
Oh, I called once before, Southside Johnny.
That's you, right? I remember now. Terry, let's try an experiment. I'm going to say the number one. You say the number two. As if you were saying the number directly to me, not like it was just a number, but as if you were having a conversation. Okay?
Okay.
I say one as if this word one is, I'm giving it to you. One, Terry.
Two.
Use my name.
Armand, two.
Three, Terry.
Armand, four.
Now, do you feel as you're doing it, do you feel your heart beginning to open a little bit?
No, I feel weird.
Okay.
You're right, yeah.
Let's stay in there. Five, Terry, five. It's just a number, five.
Armand, six.
Seven, Terry.
Armand, eight.
And nine?
Armand, ten.
Now stop there just for a moment, okay? What feeling comes over you right now?
Yeah, I guess my heart's opening a little. I guess. I don't know. I really don't know. That's the funny part.
Okay, so do you feel a kind of a numbness, a deadness, like you can't identify anything?
Kind of, yeah.
That's the way you defend yourself. You see, one of the things that happen to people when they shove around a lot and they go to people they can't trust, they develop a kind of a numbness that comes up. Whenever intimacy is threatened, they go blank. And that's the only safe way. Otherwise, they'd be grabbing at it, trying to hold on to it. And that's kind of what you do. So what I tested you for is this kind of a thing. You kind of dissociate for a minute. You move away from your feelings rather than moving towards a feeling. And that becomes automatic, and that becomes defensive, and that's a wonderful protection. But it's time for you to find somebody who is decent at what they do. And if you want to do that, send me an email. I'll help you locate it wherever you are.
Thank you.
Okay, Terry. Nice to talk to you again. When's the last time we spoke, Terry?
A while ago. I'm not sure. It was months ago, maybe.
Nice to
talk
to you.
6 months, 8 months. I don't know.
Thanks for calling back.
Thank you. Thanks, Armand. Have
sure.
a nice day.
Bye-bye. 212-957-2729. So one of the ways that people protect themselves is to shut off all feelings. They go numb. And when a person goes numb, it kind of protects them. Now, what do you think you do during war? How do you think you go through a battle? How do you think you get through surgery? You know, you can't go through surgery crying. You know, you gotta go through the surgery. So how do you go through it? 212. Oh. Hey, Lorraine, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hello, Lorraine.
This is interesting that I'm calling again. I spoke with you the other day, but I don't know. There's something I guess I just want to speak out loud about. The veteran in me, I had...
Wait. Lorraine, when you spoke to me last week, do you remember what it was that touched you so much? Because I realize what you're doing is try to make contact with me again, even though it's about the subject. You don't have to fit into the subject. What was it last week that touched you so much?
It was a fear of the possibility of what you were telling me may not have been so. And stirred up a tremendous amount of confusion in me.
Well, you've been very confused.
Yeah.
What you need to sort out is, what do you need to sort out, Lorraine?
Well, I guess we're going to talk about the last conversation we had.
No, we're not going to talk about that. I just want to know what you need for yourself right now, today.
Well, now that you brought that up, I guess what I needed was to figure out with my current husband, I guess I felt when I hung up with you last week that I was to blame for his impotence.
Uh-huh.
I was really disturbed by that.
So this related to the fact that he was impotent, and one of the things that I said about it on the air is it's like a two-way street. But you see it as blame and shame. And this is the thing that is so frightening to you, so scared to you. You want to be able to blame him for his impotence. You don't want to see what part of it you may play. Not that you play a part in it, not that you make it happen. But this is what happens with couples. But it's a much bigger deal than we could deal with on the radio, on our conversation for 3 minutes today, you know? And I would be happy to talk to you at length, or if you send me an email, I will talk to you even further. I'll respond to you there.
Okay.
Okay, Lorraine, thank you. You can send an email to armand@thepositivemind.com. This is Armand DeMille with Julian Joiello and Ben Starr. We're back with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests, and kind of focusing on the idea of veterans and what it's like and what kind of veterans we've been through. But, you know, also, I can hear through that sometimes that people really want to be able to just share their hearts. And I know... It's been a month, and we got people chopping at the bit.
Absolutely. I mean, this show, for example, this show is a veteran of WBAI and the New York airwaves. I mean,
oh, my gosh. You know how long I've been here?
And a lot of veteran listeners out there, too.
You know how long I've been on the air here, Ben? What do you guess?
Probably longer than I've been alive. But I don't know.
But that's probably true.
I don't know that for a fact, but
that's
I'm 27.
It is true.
Oh, no, I'm much longer than that. I am the only that I know of, the only uninterrupted producer on BAI for 40 years. Now, uninterrupted, meaning I never get off. I never went off. There are other producers who did, who have been on longer than
me. Who left and came back.
And they left and came back. They've been
right.
Gary's longer, and so is Amy.
Sure.
But they also took breaks in between. I just kind of had always been around, so I guess I'm a vet, and so are they. Hey, Henny.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
Okay, you put that in such a beautiful way that you are your own veteran, and I was thinking about it. I went to the Army for 2 years mandatory back in the country I was born, got out of the country, started my business, got married, went through financial pressure, and went through my ex's addiction, my ex has left me with my children, I slept in the car for 16 months, my kids were all over, got back on my feet once, get back down again, got back on my feet again, got everything back together, single father, went through horrible, horrible surgery twice, with my colon, have a pancreas problem now, and I keep telling you, like, what else do you have to throw at me? Come on up. I'm right there, and I'm just
Honey,
I'm
you know,
a veteran.
You know, honey, you say it, you say it. I've felt this way so many times myself, where you get to the point where you feel like, okay, you're coming after me, you're coming after me, you're coming after me. Well, wait a minute now. What else you got? What else can you do? I've seen so many people who talk, they've been depressed, they've been down, they've been rotten. They say, oh, I can't take any more, I can't take any more. And I say to them, you could take more. You could take even more than this. If your house burned down, you survive it. There's plenty of room inside you, but people don't know it. You, honey, have been through major, major difficulties, and you've gotten through it. It's amazing, and I really appreciate hearing from you.
But I got to be honest with you. Yes, it's times that when I drive in a quiet night, I cry. And it's like kindness, self-pity. Then right away, I pick myself up. I get myself out of it. And I think I needed that moment crying so to just, you know, be able to deal with life again tomorrow.
I never liked the word self-pity too much, because it sounds like something you shouldn't be doing. But it could be, you know, I mean, tears are the sweat of the heart. When somehow you're driving and you say, it's time to open my heart, you just let that water run out. It really is rejuvenating. It is curative. It's a beautiful thing, and how proud of you to be able to do that. So a lot of men are afraid to cry. They're afraid it makes them look bad.
I'm going to finish with that. I heard my friend said that he could put his cigarette down and take it back off. I went through addiction, and also through my addiction that I created, and I'm involved with 12-step program, I quit the smoking. I learned that I shouldn't even say I quit. When I get up in the morning, that day I tell myself, today I'm not going to smoke. And when I go to sleep, I thank my higher power, and I passed one day without a smoking. That helped me to stop for almost 2 years. I love you, Armand.
I love you too, honey, and thank you so much. What a beautiful thing. Boy, if I had a team, you know, if we had to get a team, this would be a decent guy on the team, right? Hey, come on, come aboard. But so would you all. So would you all.
Thank you.
So this is Armand DeMille with you with A Positive Mind. We've been looking at this issue of veterans. A veteran is someone who is in the military, especially during a war. But a veteran is also, you know, here's a question. Are refugees veterans? Is a refugee a veteran? You know, is a refugee someone who's a veteran? Is that somebody who's just survived? I guess they are too. Does being a veteran mean you fought back? Not necessarily. You could just have been on the wrong end of it, the wrong end of it, the wrong end of it. So I think that we're not going to be able to, I see we're coming up for a break. We're going to take a break very shortly. We're going to take a call. We're going to take a break shortly, and then we're going to come back to you with some special music, and then we're going to continue with this with phone calls to 212-957-2729. 212-957-2729. What is that? On the line right now? Oh, Sandy. Hi, Sandy. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi. I'm calling because I feel like a veteran, because I finally got enough nerve to tell my mother, who has been emotionally and verbally abusive with me all my life, that I've had enough, and I'm just not going to let her make me feel worthless, talk to me the way she does. And it's gone to the point where she even treats my children now and talks to them. I have a brother and a sister, where she treats my brother badly, but my sister she has on a pedestal. She also, you know...
Wait a minute, Sandy, you know, we're going to be going into a break, and I'd like you to call back after the break, but that was a tremendous moment for you. That you've finally been able to stand up and talk to her, you know?
Yes.
That's congratulations to you. Congratulations.
But do you think it's a good thing? I mean, because she makes me feel awful.
Absolutely.
And I don't need that in my life.
Does it feel right to you?
Yes, it does. I've been wanting to do it for so long.
Okay. Keep me posted. I'll be back
to
you. We're going to take a short break. We'll be coming back. Thank you.
Beautiful piece of engineering. It's been said that if you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you always got. Here's a chance to learn new ways to be with people and to be with yourself as well. Tune into The Positive Mind, Tuesdays and most Wednesdays at 1 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM. It's knowledge from the heart, my friends.
Thank you, Elizabeth. This is Armand DeMille with you with Julian Joiello and Ben Starr. We're looking at this concept of being a survivor. And being a survivor, you know, it's always, you can always see yourself as the victim end of it. And the only way that you become a veteran is when you no longer perceive yourself as the victim, but as the victor. So when you see yourself as a victim, you know, then you're always going to be in this battle and you're not going to be able to get out of it. So how do you go from victor to victim? That's where we really start talking about veterans. Let's take Gordon. He's on the air. Hi there, Gordon. This is Armand DeMille.
Great to talk to you again, Armand. Happy holiday to you.
Oh, Gordon, how are you?
I like to talk to you every 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. How's that marriage of yours?
Oh, you're right on target. Prior to that, I spoke to you about narcissism of people with head injuries back when these young kids were committing suicide.
But what's happening in your relationship, Gordon?
Well, I was a hero to myself in the Queens divorce court where I would stop the judge from wanting to put my ex-wife in jail. I said, it's not going to do any good. It's only going to hurt my children. And then one of the referees on a separate thing in the family court wanted to lock her up. And I said, please don't do that. I'm here to move ahead. And I swallowed a big bullet and everything. And but the background of it is I am a veteran of a very deep and pervasive corrupt court system in New York City. And the chief clerk, New York Times reported he was arrested for taking $10 bribes to fix divorces. The chief matrimonial...
This is getting a yeah. little too long. It's really nice to talk to you, Gordon, but the story is getting going out there very far. What is it about you? Tell me about you.
Just being a hero to myself and satisfied that, you know, I took the higher road and, you know, my family...
That's a very interesting thing. Could you help me with that one, Gordon? What is the higher road? People refer to it quite a bit.
Well, when you lie down with dogs, you get up with fleas, and people, they were filing false police reports against
me. Could you hold on with the details? Don't give me any more details, Gordon. What do you mean when you say the higher court, the higher road?
looking for an answer through love.
Okay, beautiful. And how do you find that? How do you, that's a great description. So the lower road is laying down with dogs.
Yes.
Although I like to lay down with dogs. But the higher road, that's being able to do it through love. I thank you so much. That's a great lesson.
I thank you.
Thank you so much.
Ciao.
Oh, it's time to tell my story. Time to tell my joke. I've told this joke before, but here it comes. Let me tell you the joke, Ben, about the guy who had all the great misfortunes in life.
No, I don't think so.
All right, good. It's nice that I could only do this once in a while. This is a story about a young man who found everything that ever happened to him was just misfortune. From the day he was born, the hospital he was born into had got struck by lightning, and it kind of then went into an avalanche, and this baby was brought off into some other place where it was picked up by some foreign family, and he wound up living on a farm. And he's living on a farm, and there's an earthquake opens this farm, and the farm gets dissolved, and another thing happens to him, and an avalanche comes and crushes the very house that he tries to live in eventually. And he just knows that there's something wrong with being on this earth. There's something not right for him. So he goes to sea. He decides he's going to go and become a sailor, and he becomes a sailor on a tramp steamer. You know, he's on a steamer and he's floating around. This way, nothing bad could happen to him. No, not so sure. A tidal wave comes, takes his boat, capsizes it. Everybody in his boat is okay, except him. He's left holding on to a piece of wood, which in the middle of the water where it's freezing cold, and the wood is being eaten by termites, and there's sharks that he could see off in the distance. And he knows he can't go further, and then suddenly a little whirlpool starts forming underneath him just to make it perfect. So he says, he looks up to heaven, he says, why me? God, it's okay. I know this is the end of it, but just tell me, why me? Why me? Why me? Why are you always giving me a hard time? Then he sees a lightning storm coming down, and he could see the sharks. He could really begin to see their teeth. They could tell they're going to have a good lunch. The termites are eating away at their piece of wood, and his little piece of wood is becoming like a very small thing. And the whirlpool's pulling him down even further. And he looks up, and comes up his head above air water again. He says, why me, God? Just tell me why me. I don't mind going. And then finally, just as he's about to go, a little basket comes out of the sky, and in it is a ribbon, and on the ribbon it's written, because something about you just pisses me off. This is Armand DeMille with you with the positive mind. 212-957-2729.
You know, seriously though, earlier you were mentioning the difference between being a survivor and a veteran. And that once you move past the identity of a victim is when you become a veteran. And I really agree with that, because I think that a veteran is sort of an empowered role versus a passive role.
That's very interesting. Yes, 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 when we see it. Because the passive role is to continue being the victim. I am the victim of, I perceive myself the victim of. It is only what has happened to me that has made me miserable, and I have been wounded. But, you know,
it's a lot easy. It's almost the easy way out to sort of play the blame game. Like you said to Lorraine, I think was blame and shame was how you put it. But I think it's sort of the easy way out. And it's harder to sort of stand up and own your situation and move past that and move into the sort of like empowered veteran role that we're talking about.
You know, what Gordon taught us about the higher road, it's so easy to get on the lower road all the time. Now, what does that really mean? The lower road means your primitive self, your primitive reactions. So something happens to you, you have a primitive reaction. You fight back. You do everything you can. And you're in your primitive reactions, you're fighting for survival. You're getting angry. The higher road goes beyond your primitive survival. And it's what Gordon said, you know, it's like it goes through love somewhere, whatever love is. And that means, I think, that wherever there's a struggle, you say, we're all in it together. I know you're not here just to hurt me.
And that sort of empowered stance, I think, is when you get to the point where, like Hanny mentioned earlier, where you've been through so much that you say, look, whatever you got that you want to throw at me, I can overcome it. There's nothing that can stand in my way at this point. I mean, that reminded me of, do you remember Lieutenant Dan in Forrest Gump?
Yes.
Speaking of veterans, do you remember when Lieutenant Dan is on the ship? He's at the top of the ship during a crazy storm in the Gulf of Mexico, and the wind and the rain is going sideways, and the boat's rocking back and forth, and he's yelling at God. He's saying, "You call this a storm? You call this a storm, God?" And then that's what came to mind for me.
212-957-2729. Megan, hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
Good.
You're talking about victims and all that stuff, and I wanted to say that's my mom to a T, and we're trying as a family, my brothers and I, my nieces and nephews, we try to approach her with love and to just be in the moment and overlook all the everything that's wrong in her life, and we just get really stuck. I don't know if there's any kind of advice you can give. I mean, it's to the point where we just talk to her on holidays. That's when we usually see her. And it's just such a negative Nancy times 100. We really don't know how to approach that. I mean, we're at the point where you just have to kind of...
Give me an example of her negativity. What would she do?
Well, my dad passed away 8 years ago, so she's on her own, and she's on a meager income, and she has a nice apartment, but the fact that she couldn't find the apartment herself, she needed either me or my sister-in-law to
help
her find it.
Could you talk just a little slower, Megan?
Oh, I'm sorry. She just needs... She wants people to do things for her so that she can blame other people when it goes wrong. And, you know, we're kind of fed up with it, and we're trying to live our lives without taking on her stuff. And it just gets to a point where we're just at a standstill. We don't know how to deal with her other than just not dealing with her. And it's not healthy, I know, and it doesn't always make us happy. So I don't know if there's a different approach.
Well, there is something that hasn't been settled. You haven't dealt with your father's death yet.
There was a lot of things that went on before he passed away that he just didn't deal with her. He didn't really take a stand and
so you're
kind of
angry.
Be a man.
You were angry with him.
I guess a little angry with him that he kind of left us in this situation with her.
Sure.
Where I
stay,
hope
stay
he
there.
Would have
stay
dealt
there
with
a
it.
Minute.
But
stay there a minute, Megan. So you're asking me to look at this from a different angle, and I'm taking the angle of going through the death of your father, and that underneath all of this, there's an anger at your father, which most of you feel, even though it can't be expressed because he's dead, right?
Right.
So mom is kind of carrying something, and she's also carrying this extra pressure of the anger that you guys feel at your dad. Did you ever talk to each other about dad?
I'm the only open one in the family, honestly. I'll open my heart. I want to talk about things, and it gets painful, and they shut down.
So now it's not just your mom. Both of your siblings also are not safe places for you to be.
Right. We were never, I guess, an open family. I always meant to be the open one and was always shut down. So,
have you found anyone that you could be open with?
Oh, my fiance. I mean, I have people, but I'm just talking my immediate family where I guess I'm wanting them to be happy when we're together as opposed to all the negativity that comes up and the things that aren't said. That's what that I pick up on, and I wish we could resolve that, but I can't make them talk.
Right, so you've got a family who's fairly closed off. You've got a mother who is, like, miserable in her own kind of way. She's kind of trying to get you to do everything, and you've got you trying to solve it in some way, plus build your own life, find your fiancé, get married, look forward to your own future. Is there another way to do it? Is a question. Is there another way at looking at this? You know, is there another way of finding mom so that she doesn't make her as miserable? But you see, all four of you, mom, your two siblings, and you are all involved in a drama. In that drama includes your dad, who's still there. So it's a much bigger picture, you know, and it would take a little piece of work, like maybe getting you all in the same room, where we could kind of look at it and expose some of the stuff that nobody wants to expose but you.
Right.
You're the only conscious voice in there, Megan. So I don't know. Sometimes you've got to step away from a family when the family just doesn't want to have step up to it, you know? And when you step away, sometimes they get better.
Yeah, that's what I hope. That's what I hope.
Let's take a look, Megan. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Have a great day. Thank you.
Bye-bye. 212-957-2729. So what do you do in a family when a family is not functional, when a family is presenting you with stressor upon stressor upon stressor, when they're blaming you, when they're finding fault with you? What do you do? What do you do? How do you get through that? You try. You try arguing with them at first. That doesn't work. You try reasoning. That's another one. You try just accepting them. That's a third one. And then you walk away. And when you walk away, sometimes you're doing the wisest thing possible. By just walking away, by just being able to say, that's it. I'm not going to be okay with this. I'm not going to be okay with this any longer. By walking away, you change the system. Hey, Deborah, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air. Hello there.
Hi, Armand. How are you?
Good, Deborah.
I saw you a little over a year ago, and I was in after that with my son, Ethan. He gonged.
Oh, I remember Ethan and the gong.
And I owe you two tens of brilliant errands, intelligent putty there. But in any case, the veteran thing today, I want to get to, all right?
Sure. How is Aaron?
Ethan.
It was Ethan, I'm sorry.
Ethan is big and gorgeous and wonderful and in fifth grade and is on the track team, ran for student council president.
Great, thank you very much. Send me a picture, would you?
I'm going to.
Thank you. Now, let's talk about the other thing, Deborah.
Thank you. His other parent is moving up to Rochester the end of this month. I was given last week about 3 weeks' notice. My options are I have Ethan here stay with me to finish out the school year. Why do you disrupt the kid? Or let him go up to Rochester. And I got to get from the place of my anger with her, the third strike, I'm done, and to love and to understand, and I'm just going to do the best I can for my son. But I'm a veteran, and I'm like knocked down again and getting up again, and it's like old, and this is hard.
It's just one more time, eh, Deborah?
Excuse me?
Just one more time. There's going to be another 10 after this.
That's what I say each time. I got one more good fight left in me. But I'm having to choose between what I think is the lesser of two evils. I don't think my son should be separated from either parent, not to mention his pets, for an extended period. So I'm left
with this
choice.
What does he think?
I'm going to talk to him because, you know, this is all just...
No one's asked him about it yet?
This is in the midst of... He didn't want to move. We were at a hockey game last Wednesday, and he's telling me he wants to sell hot chocolate after school. He could make $100 a day. We could stay here. But she started talking to him about this, the two of them, without the three of us. And it's just too sudden. It's too drastic.
Deborah, you're tired, aren't you?
It's crazy. I'm exhausted.
I can hear it. You're really, really tired. You've been through so much of this.
Oh. Yeah. The parents are gone now a little over a year. I'm trying to right the ship, and it's like, come on. I told her, you're in a rowboat. It's got a hole. I'm in a rowboat. It's got a hole. For 6 months, stay here. Come here with your menagerie. Let him finish out the school year. He's got his first crush and everything. In the summer, we look at Rochester. Give me a break.
Well, it's the way it's going to be. We're not going to give you a break. We're going to just keep testing you because, Deborah, you're a guardian angel.
How do I manage to come from love? I got to discharge or dispel or deal with this anger. I feel that she's being a terrible parent.
Okay, are you ready for this?
I got to get it
you
out.
Want the answer? You want the answer? You want the answer?
I'm going to go downstairs and scream my head off. Now what?
Turn the love towards yourself. Turn the love for yourself first.
I knew I had to call today. I'll send you the picture. Thank you, darling. God, love everybody there. Everybody be well. Blessings.
See you, Deborah. Bye-bye.
Thank you, woman.
Sometimes you can't turn the love. You can't come from love with a group of people. But sometimes you could bring it towards yourself. That makes a big difference. 212-957-2729. Those are times, Julian, when you run into yourself at times and you just have to figure out, you know, it's so frustrating and you got to turn to yourself and say, hey, I'm okay, saying it to yourself.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the time I don't personally, but I guess those times when you do, it's such a strange kind of beautiful moment.
So what's the difference between when you do and when you don't? Do you have any idea?
I feel like when you don't.
Well, don't say you. Say when I don't.
When I don't, I kind of spiral off into this snowball, this avalanche that continues forever until
you can't find your way back.
Mm-hmm.
Once you spin off, it's got to go. It's got to take its own course, and then it's hard to get to grab it in the middle of it until you can find your way back. Yes, I understand that a great deal. Great deal, Ben. You find that happen too?
Sure. I mean, I notice when I'm acting in self-love that I feel physically lighter. It's actually a physical sensation that I feel when I'm in a rut of self-hatred, for example. I feel it physically. I feel the weight of it. I feel a sort of heat in my belly, almost, like a rage inside. And when I reverse that and I'm able to act with compassion and love for myself, I actually feel lighter walking down the street physically.
It's a beautiful thing. Hey, whatever happened to I Can Be Mean? Where is that gem? We don't have it on here yet, huh? We'll be digging it up very shortly.
Mean.
Yeah, we'll be digging that up very shortly.
You know, I think we set a trend with that because my neighbor has the satellite radio, and I was over there, and I heard Howard Stern and his crew doing a thing based on the same music. That, you know, we did it first.
Really?
Yeah, maybe Howard Stern was listening.
it kind of gets around, you know, it's all love in the air. And that's the way it is, my friends. And listen, we're going to be going with you right now. We're going to be playing you some beautiful Bach, probably the most beautiful piece of music ever written, according to certain people who love classical music. And we will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. And thank you so much. So nice to be back with you. Thank you to all the callers. Be back with you tomorrow.
And make sure to go to thepositivemind.com. The archives will be back in action. Today's show will be on there later today.
Thank you. Bye-bye for now.